Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 13th of July, 2024, and the title of today's show is Obama running the US and the UK? Big boy Biden destroying the Dem Party. So another week of interesting developments, I must say. The Democrat Party is imploding because of Biden's inability to string a sentence together. And also the UK, at least those who didn't vote Labour, in uproar because of everything that Starmer has already done in the first week of being in power. So quite an interesting week all round. I'm going to start, though, with Benjamin Fulford's report again, because he does cover something about the US and UK, but also a more global look, as usual. And of course, this was put out on Monday, so it won't have the latest developments, but it's got a good overview of everything, in my opinion. And as I always say, be discerning. You know, some of it may not resonate with you, in which case, take what you feel is right and discard the rest, which is exactly what I do. Okay, so the title of Fulford's report is Stealing Elections and Installing a Fake King Does Not Change Reality. The Khazarian Mafia's rule-based world order is staging a desperate offensive to stay in power and avoid war crimes tribunals. To this end, they blatantly stole the UK election and installed blackmailed pedophile Keir Starmer as Prime Minister, MI6 sources say. The next phase will be to try to install either Michelle Big Mike Obama or Kamala Harris as president in the US, they say. Here you can read how Barack Thunder of Satan Obama mentored the new UK Prime Minister to help him tell his story. And he links to an article by Business Insider. This was actually dated the 4th of July. But I'm going to just cover the highlights of this. Keir Starmer is the UK's new Prime Minister after his Labour Party won Thursday's election. He's had help opening up about his personal story from an unlikely source, Barack Obama. The relationship could continue after Starmer takes office. The left-wing Labour Party has won more than 400 of the 650 seats in the House of Commons, which means its leader, Keir Starmer, is to be Prime Minister and 14 years of Conservative Party rule is over. Starmer declared change begins now at a rally early Friday morning as results poured in, but his victory came despite the fact he's often described as lacking charisma. That's a bit of an understatement. In recent months, Starmer has made a concerted effort to appear more relatable to voters and emphasise that contrast. And he's talking about a contrast with Rishi Sunak, who is married to the daughter of an Indian billionaire, the Infosys founder. He's been helped by an unlikely mentor, former US President Barack Obama. Obama encouraged Starmer to be vulnerable. In a series of Zoom calls, Obama, who served as US president from 2009 until 2017, encouraged Starmer to become more vulnerable and open with the public and has spoken with the Labour leader about the difficult decisions he made in the Oval Office. Politico reported that the pair were first introduced by David Lammy, one of Starmer's key lieutenants, who will become his foreign secretary if Labour wins. Well, of course, Labour did win and he did become foreign secretary. And he's also an Illuminati person because he's photographed with one hand over one eye, which is symbolism that we're all familiar with. When Obama dropped in to meet Sunak in March, he also met Lammy for dinner, the Telegraph reported. I missed out saying Lammy said he and Obama had known each other for 20 years since meeting at an event for black alumni of Harvard University. Lammy said Obama's influence on Starmer was apparent when the Labour leader recently opened up about his family's backstory, much more comfortably than perhaps we saw a few years ago. And I know that Obama has strong views that Keir should do that, he added. Lammy was speaking after Starmer gave an extended interview to Sky News in which he described how his mother had Still's disease, a rare type of inflammatory arthritis. He said his father spent most of his time looking after her and this had squeezed his emotional space and made him more emotionally distant from his children. I should probably have addressed that before he passed, and I wish I had, but I didn't, Starmer added. Kitty Donaldson, a political journalist in the UK, told Business Insider this interview marked a turning point in Starmer's public display of emotion. Up until that point, Starmer had been very stiff, very practical, very straight-laced, Donaldson said, adding that Obama unlocked and gave permission for Starmer to open up. In terms of his leadership style, it's had an impact, she said. Obama is quite laid back. This campaign has been more laid back than we have seen. And he seemed to enjoy going up and down the country speaking to people. Tom Packer, an honorary research fellow at University College London, who specializes in US politics and elections, told BI that Starmer's backstory had become a theme of the campaign. He said it helped challenge the idea that all UK politicians come from a posh background without struggle. Obama's and Starmer's relationship is likely to continue if Starmer wins the election on Thursday. Again, he did. And unfortunately, I have no doubt that Obama will be interfering in this administration just the way he does in the Biden administration. So back to Ben Fulford's article. It looks like the memo the media parrots got was throw Biden under the bus, start preparing the public for big swinging like a bull mic. And a Telegraph headline reads, Michelle Obama, the only Biden alternative who would beat Trump. The plan by the KM Zionists is that Obama from his basement will then be able to control both the US and the UK. As we shall see below, this plan is doomed to fail. For now, though, the KM are on the offensive. In the UK, even official election results show the election was stolen. Starmer's Labour Party got 412 out of the 650 seats in the UK Parliament, with only 33% of the vote. In another sign the election was stolen, Nigel Farage's Reform Party got only 4 seats, despite getting 14.3% of the vote, while the Liberal Democrats got 71 seats with only 12.3% of the votes. The corporate media is trying to say this was because of the first-past-the-post electoral system in the UK, but MI6 confirms the election was stolen outright. In a sign the KM are playing hardball, our colleague Michael Shrimpton, who provided us with the Starmer KGB file we published last week, has gone missing and it is feared he has been killed. This was to prevent him from writing in detail about how the election was stolen, MI6 says. Now, it's true that there is a first-past-the-post system in the UK and this is not the first time that this has happened. So I'm not sure about this claim that it was stolen because of that. However, of course, if the individual constituencies had their votes rigged, then obviously that made it possible for the Labour Party to seats, this number of seats. And there have been quite a few very close results. And of course, the people behind this are the same people behind the rigging of the US election. So it could in fact be feasible that this whole thing was stolen, especially given the amount of support that Nigel Farage was getting as leader of the Reform Party, which is the party that I voted for. In his first speech since becoming the Prime Minister, Starmer fully pledges his allegiance to Ukraine and Zelensky. Now Starmer is following the fake Biden show, aka Obama, from the basement by releasing 40,000 criminals on the street to create more crimes and justify martial law down the road. The KM need martial law to keep Nigel Farage and his party from power. That is because Farage's party is the only one to officially call for an investigation into vaccine deaths, among other things. It's also clear most of the British royal family was killed in order to install a fake King Charles to anoint Starmer. In France as well, the election on July 7th was stolen to keep Emmanuel Macron Rothschild in power and install a pro-EU, NATO and Ukraine government, French intelligence sources say. These operations are being run by the Nazi faction of the KM, including most of the surviving members of the Rothschild family. They are now hiding in Holland under the protection of the Dutch royal family, according to Pentagon sources. They are going to stage one last and desperate attempt to start World War III or Armageddon, CIA sources say. This is what their big NATO meeting planned in Washington this week is all about, they say. In preparation for this, Europe is now being heavily sprayed with chemtrails. These are necessary for a major holographic sky event designed to fool the public and cause panic, the sources say. This is supposed to be the grand finale for a plan signed by 160 nations in 1994 to reduce the world's population by 90% to 800 million by 2030. This was to be accomplished using fluoride, viruses, in other words, bioweapons, toxic chemtrails, and finally the UFO event. Multiple sources are saying this event is scheduled for August. This final Hail Mary genocide attempt will fail because most of the world's military is not going along with the plan, Pentagon sources say. However, they confirm some sort of sky event to scare everyone will take place, just without the mass murder originally planned. In North America, the White Hat military based in Mount Cheyenne is already taking action on multiple fronts. They have the actor playing President Joe Biden on their side. He is deliberately saying things like, "I am a black woman and I will beat Trump again in 2020," to discredit the KM who is behind his fake presidency. And this is a point I absolutely agree with, because I think the White Hats are using the fake Joe Biden to destroy the Democrat Party, who are in absolute chaos now because of Joe Biden's gaffes. And of course, with them, the Illuminati, the cabal, the Khazarian mafia, whatever you care to call them. Trump has called Biden an old broken down pile of crap and suggested Joe is about to quit the race as he criticized his TV debate performance in a new video. The election campaign in the United States is a pitiful sight. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov comments. He says, "If the system of so-called American democracy produces such results or such a course of the election campaign, everyone could draw their own conclusions about how it's all orchestrated, how it's arranged," he says. He does not seem to fully realize there are two factions fighting to the death behind the scenes. In a sign, US Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump is against the Starmer election theft. He said, "Congratulations to Nigel Farage on his big win of a parliament seat amid Reform UK election success," while ignoring Starmer. The White Hats have also made a big move in Canada. This was seen in the Thursday announcement that David Vigneault, director of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, CSIS, is resigning from the spy agency's top job after 7 years. CSIS sources tell us he was forced to resign after he was caught, quote, trying to cause a nuclear disaster in Alberta, end quote, in order to declare martial law and keep Justin Castrudeau in power. This plot has been stopped, said the sources, who refused to provide more detail. However, there can be no doubt Vigneault failed in his duty to protect Canada because he allowed fraudulent elections to install actual real-life Nazis into power in Canada. Hopefully this will all change with his removal, and the Canadian military can do their job of defending Canada by going after the criminals who murdered countless Canadians with toxic vaccines. We also got information from the Japanese royal family about what is really going on in the UK with Starmer and the fake King Charles. Sources close to Emperor Naruhito say the Japanese imperial family visited the UK in late June in order to sign documents related to a new rainbow currency the US government hopes to issue. Emperor Naruhito, who personally knew the original Charles, says the person he met in the UK was a fake. The real Charles died 2 years ago, he says. He also says that during his visit to the UK, he went to a fake Windsor Castle set to sign the documents. This is the Amiro 2.0 plan and is backed by Obama and the Nazi faction of the KM holding out in Holland, the sources say. The original Amiro plan from 2008 called for every US dollar in the world to be replaced by two Amiros. The Chinese and other creditors to the US corporation rejected this plan because it would have meant a 50% reduction in the value of their hard-earned dollars. This is why dollars held outside of the United States were quarantined from new dollars issued by the US corporation since that time. Under the new plan, the US will issue a rainbow currency of its own, separate from the overseas US dollar. The overseas US dollar, for its part, is soon to be renamed the BRICS currency, Asian Secret Society sources say. In any case, the new rainbow currency will fail because the US economy, which used to account for 50% of the world GDP, is in fact tiny now. Even though the Western corporate propaganda media says the US has the biggest economy in the world, this is a blatant lie. Here are some comparisons with China to show why. China generates twice as much electricity as the US. It produces 12.6 times more steel and 22 times more cement. It sells 26 million vehicles per year compared to 15.5 million for the US. The Chinese buy 434 million smartphones per year, three times the US amount, etc. The numbers showing US GDP is larger than China's are fictional numbers inside of bank computers that are not backed by reality. You cannot eat numbers inside computers. Asian secret society sources confirm the Obama people have tried to seduce them into supporting the new rainbow currency by promising a black woman as US president who will be subservient to China. The sources say that while they were fooled by Obama in 2008, they are not going to be fooled again and will not accept this new currency. Another problem with the rainbow currency plan is that it will bankrupt the US military. The military white hats, for their part, are proposing issuing $100 trillion worth of gold-backed dollars to help support a new multipolar world system. Under this system, the military-industrial complex would follow the rule of law and act as enforcers for the International Criminal Court. Big moves towards a new multipolar system have already started this month as Russia assumed the presidency of the UN Security Council. Russia promises, quote, to build a fairer and more democratic world order, end quote. The world is going through a rapid and irreversible change. A multipolar world is now a reality, Russian President Vladimir Putin says. Putin also says Russia is waiting for the power struggle to end before deciding on resuming strategic dialogue with the US. However, he says Russia is taking seriously Donald Trump's pledge to end the Ukraine conflict. The power struggle is coming to a head this summer. Be prepared, locked and loaded with an extra dry powder keg. The KM are planning to activate the 30 million illegals in America, not counting how many are in Canada. In the latest sign the mayhem has already started, a mob of looters ransacked an Oakland gas station convenience store and caused thousands of dollars in damage as the frustrated store manager claimed police took 9 hours to respond to his plea for help. Just look at the state of the Democrat Party. As a Pentagon source writes, their candidate is a mumbling meat puppet who led us into global conflict on the verge of World War III. Their only policy ideas are killing babies, men in dresses, and open borders. They resort to violence when they don't get their way. They have infiltrated the media, academia, and tech, using their power to lie, censor, omit, deceive, manipulate, and brainwash. They have weaponized all levers of government and the private sector to go after their political opponents and citizens who oppose their rule. They actively interfere in elections, encourage illegals to vote, and outright cheat by harvesting mail-in ballots. They defend and encourage pedophilia and the sexualization of children. And now they are calling for Biden to go full totalitarian military dictatorship and use force to take out Trump and his allies. We have been told by our contacts on more than one occasion that SCOTUS has already made a decision on the 2020 voter fraud case brought by the Brunson brothers, and the announcement of such could come out at any time, which would dissolve the Biden administration and all of Congress. I must say that's very interesting, because I thought the latest attempt by the Brunson brothers had actually been dismissed by the Supreme Court. Well, hopefully it's true. That is why the Supreme Court ruled Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution when it comes to constitutional powers. That is why acting Supreme Court Judge Juan Merchan has vacated Donald Trump's July 11th sentencing date and will delay it until September 18th if such is still necessary. It probably will not be necessary, as this news item hints. Former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe is rumoured to be President Trump's top pick for Attorney General. If appointed, Ratcliffe reportedly plans to prosecute CIA contractors and employees who allegedly interfered in the 2020 elections. This is all a circus show. Everything has been planned for a very long time. This is to keep the sheeple diverted from what is really going on behind the curtain, a CIA source comments. In any case, while the undeclared Western Civil War rages, the rest of the world is moving on. A Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, summit, attended by Chinese leader Xi Jinping and Russian President Putin, last week said tectonic shifts are taking place in global politics, economics, and other spheres of international relations. The group calls for a comprehensive reform of the UN involving developing countries in its activities, unconditional implementation of the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, BTWC, condemnation of the actions that have led to numerous civilian casualties in Gaza, an end to double standards in the fight against terrorism, which cannot be justified by anything. The group also noted the Taliban in Afghanistan is ready to join the fight against terrorism. While they did not say it explicitly, everybody paying attention knows it is the KM that is responsible for terrorism and war around the world. Turkish President Recep Erdogan hinted at it when he noted certain Western powers appear hell-bent on turning the Ukraine conflict into an all-out world war. It is obvious that arms dealers need money, and the market for arms dealers is the West. He added he hopes peace will prevail in spite of this. In a sign he is working towards a peace agreement of his own, Turkish offices, industrial and military facilities are being stormed across northern Syria, and Turkish workers and military personnel are leaving northern Syria in large numbers, according to Polish intelligence sources. Meanwhile, Iraq's capital Baghdad is set to host upcoming talks between Syria and Turkey, aimed at normalising their bilateral relations, according to Arab sources. The decision to resume dialogue and reach reconciliation between Ankara and Damascus was supported by Russia, China and Iran. In another sign, the Middle East is moving decisively against terrorism. Iran's president-elect Masoud Pezeshkian says he will extend the hand of friendship to everyone. Our sources say he is working with the White Hat Alliance. Of course, the elephant in the room is Israel. Our sources tell us that Israel will soon be replaced by the nation-state of Judea and that peace will be imposed. Behind the scenes, the US military White Hats have reached a deal with the SCO, whereby they will take charge of security in Eurasia, including Judea, while the Anglo-Saxons keep the ocean free and open. This is reflected in a policy brief written by Dr. Sumantra Maitra for the Trump-affiliated Center for Renewing America that calls for Europe to defend itself while the US transforms into an offshore balancer vis-a-vis Eurasia and a logistics provider of last resort for the EU. Hungarian President Viktor Orban, who took over the presidency of the EU on July 1st, is also clearly on board with this plan. He has flown to Kiev and Russia and now China to negotiate an end to the Ukraine conflict. Our sources say Germany, Hungary and most of Eastern Europe have agreed to join the new Eurasian security arrangement being proposed by Russia. North Korea, Mongolia and India have also agreed to join, Asian secret society sources say. The untold story here is the Russians are promising to prevent China from bullying its neighbours. Also, in a clear sign Europe has broken from the Rockefellers, they are now getting most of their gas from special Russian tankers via the Arctic. There is also an intensifying move in Asia to unify the Korean Peninsula. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol and his gang, who are currently in the worst political crisis, try to find an emergency exit in an escalation. Kim Yo-young, sister of Kim Jong-un and de facto leader of North Korea, said, pointing out that the petition demanding an impeachment of the South Korean president has already accumulated over 1 million signatures. The Koreans do not want to join NATO and fight against their fellow Koreans. The Japanese also oppose NATO expansion into Asia. Of course, NATO is freaking out about this because they want war. NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg replies to the Hungarian prime minister's moves for the alliance. He nervously stutters as he says Orban does not represent NATO following his visit to Russia. The reality is that despite what KM puppet governments in the UK and France say, the Ukraine and NATO are being thrown under the bus. Today, Ukraine has only a quarter of its energy production capacity at its disposal, compared to the situation before Russian aggression, according to Polish intelligence. Now the Rothschild-owned Economist magazine is saying Ukraine has 1 month to reach an agreement with creditors on debt restructuring and avoiding bankruptcy. While Ukraine goes bankrupt, Vladimir Zelensky's wife just bought a brand new Bugatti Tourbillon, one of the most expensive cars in the world. No wonder Ukraine will be told it is currently too corrupt to join NATO. However, as things stand now, the West is too corrupt to join the rest of the world. Then, of course, there is the still unresolved issue of what to do about all the blackmailed pedophiles running the West. Elon Musk writes, "Why is there not one, just one, even attempted prosecution of that Epstein, Bill Gates and Reid Hoffman come to mind client list? Either FBI does their duty or the case for an entire departmental reset or abolishment is strong." Since Musk is with the US Space Force, this is a sign military action against the FBI is imminent. It's about time. Military action against the Vatican is also needed. They just found Archbishop Carlo Vigano guilty of schism and excommunicated him from the church by order of the fake rubber-masked Pope Francis. Vigano says he considers the charges brought against him to be an honour. More than two dozen US bishops issued statements attesting to Vigano's credibility, including some of the current leadership of the US Bishops' Conference. Mel Gibson wrote a letter to Archbishop Vigano saying, "It's really a badge of honour that someone kicked you out of a fake post-conciliar church. I have complete respect for the way you defend Christ and his church. May God bless you and protect you. If you need anything, just ask, and I will try to help with admiration and eternal respect." Finally, this week, we note Amazon has deployed over 750,000 robots that have replaced over 100,000 people. Clearly, AI is a pressing issue to deal with. So let's continue by looking at some of the disasters in the Biden camp recently. On the 5th of July, RT reported European leaders stunned by Biden's accelerated aging, and that originally came from the Washington Post. Multiple leaders have concluded that Joe Biden can't win in November, sources told the newspaper. US President Joe Biden has been displaying worrying signs of accelerated aging in recent months, and these changes shocked European leaders who met him at the Group of Seven G7 summit in Italy last month, the Washington Post reported on Friday. The outlet cited 21 people who spoke on condition of anonymity. According to the Post, numerous aides, foreign officials, donors, and members of Congress say the president has slowed considerably. They pointed to how he moves more slowly, speaks more softly, and loses his train of thought more often. During the G7 summit in Italy last month, several European leaders came away stunned by how much older Biden seemed since their last interactions with him, according to officials that spoke to the outlet. Some officials admitted that while they had brushed off concerns over Biden's health before the debate with Trump, they are now questioning his abilities. All News Pipeline reported yesterday, headed by dangerously unhinged, zombie-like Joe, the 75th anniversary meeting of NATO turned into a fiasco as even CNN turned against Joe, his drug addict son Hunter, and the blob. You can't deny that Joe Biden did his goodest last night, facing down a half dozen pre-selected reporters representing blob-adjacent news orgs such as Reuters and NPR at the post-NATO meetup damage control event billed as a news conference. Only a week after he declared himself to be the first black woman vice president, he pivoted to correct the record, telling the DC press corps that he'd picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, and everyone in the room saw that they were back in that mortifying scene in the Kaine mutiny when the confused and incompetent Captain Queeg reaches for the ball bearings in his pocket. Incidentally, this is by James Howard Kunstler, who also reports on Substack. At the end of the harrowing hour, he minced his way off stage, leaving his party of chaos ever more sore perplexed as to how they might lever this burnt-out old hack out of the nomination they foolishly secured for him months ago. It ain't gonna be easy, as JB repeatedly insisted he had no intention of stepping aside, despite the forces mustering against him in Congress, the media, and Hollywood. Even CNN is turning on him. Meanwhile, the Veep Trump clip went viral on social media. So much for damage control. Zero Hedge writes, Biden praises Vice President Trump during rambling post-NATO presser. That was rough. After introducing Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky as Vladimir Putin, then arriving to his own press conference more than 50 minutes late, a coughing, slurring Joe Biden then called Donald Trump his vice president as he attempted to show the world what a goodest boy can do. Biden then slurred his way through an answer on whether he thinks he should take another neurological exam. Biden then blamed his staff for his horrendous debate performance last month, telling the audience that he's catching hell from my wife. Apparently, Biden follows the advice of his commander-in-chief, whoever that is. He even treated us to his creepy whisper voice that must give daughter Ashley some serious flashbacks. And so, on to the press conference, the big boy press conference that was held Thursday night. Daily Mail Online reports Biden's cabinet recoil at epic flub at Big Boy Presser as insiders warn of brutal next 48 hours. Joe Biden's senior officials struggled to keep their composure when the president mistook Donald Trump for Kamala Harris last night as dozens of Democratic lawmakers prepared to turn against him. The major blunder came near the top of Biden's make-or-break press conference and shortly after the commander-in-chief introduced Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky at the end of the NATO summit as President Putin. Indeed, Biden's cabinet may have hoped that after the epic gaffe in front of a worldwide audience, the worst was over. But about 2 hours later, the cameras were trained on Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan as the president made arguably the worst flub of the night. Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president if I think she's not qualified to be president, Biden answered a reporter's question about whether he thought Harris had what it takes to be president. So let's start there, number one, he continued. Sullivan put his hand to his mouth and Blinken allowed his gaze to drop dolefully, as if staring off into space as the president poured gasoline on his chances of re-election. Only Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin appeared to control his gaze, staring unblinkingly at the commander-in-chief and even attempting a slight nod of agreement. The trio had a front row seat for the press conference at the end of the NATO conference on Thursday evening as calls for Biden to step down reached a fever pitch. Biden insisted he is staying in the race and rejected claims he is unfit to serve, while also defying reality by insisting there are no polls that show he would lose to Trump in the November general election. And all the unforced errors came at a critical time for Biden's presidency and candidacy as Democrats launched a coordinated effort to go public with demands he withdraw from his re-election bid against former President Donald Trump. And now for the icing on the cake, and this is from Gateway Pundit. CNN now admits Joe Biden's entire presidency is a carefully staged sham. This was published yesterday. This is hilarious. Fake news. CNN is now admitting what the Gateway Pundit has been reporting on for years. Joe Biden's entire presidency is a carefully staged sham. The left-wing media immediately came out and called for Joe Biden to drop out of the 2024 presidential race after his poor debate performance late last month. Democrat lawmakers have also called for Biden to step aside following the presidential debate. On Wednesday, George Clooney came forward and called for Biden to step down. In his op-ed, Clooney calls for Biden to voluntarily step aside, saying, "I love Joe Biden, but we need a new nominee." This is after he attended the fundraiser where Obama led Biden off the stage. CNN on Thursday rehashed the George Clooney-Biden fundraiser drama and used it to attack Joe Biden. At a star-studded fundraiser for President Joe Biden in Los Angeles last month, George Clooney wasn't the only one who came away concerned about the president, CNN reported. He was less cogent than usual, said one attendee, according to CNN. Back in Washington, there have been clear signs throughout his term of Biden being increasingly stage-managed, with lists of talking points, names of questioners, and drawings of where he should walk presented to him by aides. ahead of closed-door cabinet meetings that Biden attends, it's customary for cabinet officials to submit questions and key talking points that they plan to present in front of Biden ahead of time to White House aides. Two sources with direct knowledge told CNN. CNN reported on Thursday. CNN continued, "The entire display is kind of an act," one of those sources told CNN. "They would come and say, hey, the president is going to call on you about 25 minutes in and ask this question. What are the bullet points you'll respond with?" The second source, who echoed that same description, said when Biden attends cabinet meetings, they are not freewheeling and pretty well orchestrated. And the meetings themselves are infrequent, with one cabinet secretary telling CNN they are uncertain of Biden's condition because they so rarely see him, the outlet reported. And Charlie Kirk posted on X, CNN, yes, CNN is now reporting that Joe Biden's entire presidency is a carefully stage-managed sham, where Biden walks, what questions he takes from reporters, and even how he interacts with cabinet members, coordinated in advance to hide the state of Biden's decline. So I have to laugh at all this because to me it seems to be blatantly obvious that the White Hats who control whoever is playing the part of Joe Biden are orchestrating this complete collapse of the sham of fake Biden's presidency. And it's just so amusing to see the press saying they didn't realise that Joe Biden's mental state was so awful. And, you know, he was supposedly sharp as a tack, and suddenly everything is there in plain view. And of course, the Democrat Party is imploding because they haven't got a clue what they're going to do with the November election rapidly approaching. Joe Biden adamant that he's not going to step down, and no real feasible candidate in the wings to take over from his candidacy. And even more amusing is that in the polls for who the Democrats would most support to be the new candidate is, would you believe, Kamala Harris, the cackling word salad queen. You just can't make this stuff up. It's hilarious. And as I segue into a bit more about the UK election results and the new leadership in the form of Keir Starmer, Russia Today reports new UK PM praises Biden's mental state. Keir Starmer has said he doesn't believe that the US leader is senile. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has brushed aside concerns over US President Joe Biden's age and mental fitness, praising his leadership following a bilateral meeting in Washington. Starmer and Biden met at the White House on Wednesday to discuss the Ukraine and Gaza conflicts as well as trade and climate change. When asked later by the BBC if he thought Biden was senile, Starmer replied, "No. We had a really good bilateral meeting yesterday. We were billed at 45 minutes, but we went on for the better part of an hour. We went through a huge number of issues at pace," the Prime Minister said. He added that Biden was actually in really good form and absolutely across all the details. But then it goes on to describe in the article about the gaffes he's been making. So just shows Keir Starmer must be as brain dead as Biden is. Majid Nawaz does a good roundup of what's going on with the new leadership, if we can call it that. Globalist new UK PM Sir Keir Starmer demands a bigger reset after kneeling before Zod. 1. Globalist Starmer feigns a national mandate in order to reset Britain. The new globalist UK Prime Minister and Labour Party leader Sir Keir Starmer has been reported in British corporate media to have secured a landslide victory in elections held on 4th of July 2024. But this is not quite true. In fact, this was not so much a Labour landslide win as it was a historic Conservative landslide defeat. The Independent reports, 8th of July 2024, Conservatives' X account deleted after landslide loss to Labour. Something went wrong is now the only thing that shows on official page. The Conservative Party's official account on X, formerly Twitter, has been deleted. The removal came on Monday, a few days after the Tories suffered a landslide defeat to Labour in the general election. Visitors to the page only saw an error message indicating that the account was no longer live. Something went wrong, read one of the messages. Conservative sources suggest that the deletion was an error on X's behalf and that it was working to restore the account. Despite this, Starmer's Labour must run with the idea that they won by landslide and hold an unprecedented mandate from the British public. Without such an illusion, it will be much harder for them to bring about the great reset they so desire. And a note from CNN, Starmer pledges to reset Britain as Labour takes over after 14 years of Conservative rule. And desire a reset they do, so much so that Starmer's first speech as PM restated this aim. He said, "It's surely clear to everyone that our country needs a bigger reset. Let there be no doubt that the new globalist Prime Minister for the UK, Sir Keir Starmer, has fully kneeled before Zod." Starmer makes no secret about this. In an interview, he openly stated that he prefers Davos, the city in which the yearly World Economic Forum conference is held, to the seat of the British Parliament in Westminster. Starmer, "Our country needs a bigger reset." WEF head Klaus Schwab, "We need a great reset." Broadcaster, "Let us just ask you quickly, you have to choose now between Davos or Westminster." Starmer, "Davos." Broadcaster, "Why?" Starmer, "Because Westminster is too constrained and you know it's closed and we're not having meaning. Once you get out of Westminster, whether it's Davos or anywhere else, you actually engage with people that you can see working with in the future. Westminster's just a tribal shouting place." Host, "Are you surprised that your Prime Minister didn't show up to Davos?" Starmer, "Yes, I think our Prime Minister should have showed up at Davos. I absolutely do. One of the things that's been impressed on me since I've been here is the absence of the United Kingdom, and that's why it's really important that I'm hearing that our Shadow Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, is here as a statement of intent that should there be a change of government, and I hope there will be, the United Kingdom will play its part on the global stage in a way I think it probably hasn't in recent years." WEF head Klaus Schwab, "What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina, and so on. So we penetrate the cabinets." Number two, PM Starmer appoints other globalists to his cabinet. Starmer's globalist aspirations for Britain can be seen too in the new appointments he has made. His new Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, wasted no time in wearing his identity politics on his sleeve while hinting at further military embroilment in Ukraine. David Lammy's globalist Bilderberg meeting credentials are clear. He said in a speech, "We will begin with a reset with Europe on the climate and the global south, and a gear shift when it comes to delivering on European security, global security, and British growth." Starmer went further, rubbing salt into the wounds of the nation by appointing none other than the chief science officer from the now almost universally acknowledged failure that was the COVID mandate era, Sir Patrick Vallance. And in case you need any reminder of the clown show at work, forgettable former Labour leader Ed Miliband is now responsible for the financial protection racket dubbed Net Zero. Talking of has-beens, former Labour PM and globalist warmonger Tony Blair has also waded in, not wasting any opportunity to once again indulge his obsession over centralising all our information. The Times reports, 9th of July 2024, Tony Blair warns Labour, "Embrace AI or be forced to raise taxes." Blair will call on the new government to use emerging technologies to automate swathes of the public sector and allow the NHS to scour medical records to seek out those who need preemptive treatment. Wes Streeting, the new health secretary, and Pat McFadden, the cabinet office and minister charged with overhauling government, both leading Blairites, will be among the star guests at the annual conference organised by the Tony Blair Institute. The state is to access all our private health data in order to preemptively treat us. Is it really a good idea to trust those who locked down 70% of the planet over a glorified flu while coercing us into taking poisonous injections? 3. Globalist world leaders welcome PM Starmer. Among the leaders first to congratulate Starmer for his victory were his fellow globalists, such as blackface addict PM Trudeau from Canada. Joining him was globalist warmonger and Nazi collaborator Zelensky. Biden himself was among those first on the phone to Starmer, as shared by the new Prime Minister himself, in a call that once again hints at what is to come for sending us all further into war with Russia. Sky News reports, 6th of July 2024, PM Starmer shares clip of first phone call with US President Biden. Biden congratulated the new Prime Minister and reaffirmed the special relationship between the US and the UK. Let's hope he got the name right this time. Since this call, PM Starmer has attended the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., where it was announced that British missiles will be used by Ukraine on Russian targets. The American people needed to be shown what Biden was. The Brits need to be shown what this lot are, which is what I've been saying is the absolute plan, I believe. Brace yourselves. 4. Labour's win was the most marginal election victory since 1945. The Labour won by landslide narrative is crucial to manufacturing consent for Starmer's next moves in facilitating the globalist agenda for World War III against Russia. Without this, the British public will be hard-pressed to simply go along with the globalist agenda that Starmer has planned. But the nature of Labour's marginal victories at constituency level has reignited the debate about electoral reform. And there's a screenshot of an ex-post by Majid. The UK electoral system is not fit for purpose. Reform got 4 million votes and only 4 seats. Lib Dems got 3.4 million votes and 69 seats. Labour won 2/3 of the seats with only 1/3 of the national vote. In 2010, David Cameron got a higher share of the vote than Labour did yesterday, yet there was a hung parliament. The truth is that when considering the above points, Labour's victory is not as large as it seems, and this Labour government might not last as long as it thinks it will. The UK is in for a heck of a ride. At 411 seats compared to the Conservatives at second place with a mere 121 seats, yes, Labour's parliamentary majority is huge. However, when looking on a constituency-by-constituency basis, their electoral majority is razor-thin. It is only due to the nature of our first-past-the-post electoral system that razor-thin majorities in each constituency translate into absolute majorities in terms of parliamentary seats. But such razor-thin majorities on a constituency level remain vulnerable to by-elections and protest votes during general elections. In some cases, such as new health secretary, the ardent Blairite Wes Streeting's seat in Ilford North, his majority was, shockingly, only 500 votes. And he shows other examples, only winning by 18 votes, several by 15 votes. This was the most marginal general election since 1945. Even Starmer's own vote share in his own seat was slashed by nearly half. The most acute marginal losses in terms of votes for Labour came from Britain's Muslim communities, which were until recently deemed the core of the Labour vote. All of the independent wins against Labour were taken by Muslim candidates. This was the case except for Labour's expelled former leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who comfortably won his own seat campaigning on causes dear to British Muslim hearts. Some journalists are beginning to notice the gaping holes in the Labour landslide narrative. Starmer was asked about this recently. And there's a screenshot again from Majid's X account. Question to new UK PM Sir Keir Starmer. Do you accept there's a problem between UK Labour and the Muslim community at the moment? PM Starmer. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is this. Gobbledygook, blah, 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 blah-de-blah, blah. It is not just Muslim voters that Starmer has lost. There are some free speech campaigners angry at PM Starmer for having chosen to go after Julian Assange, while as head of the Crown Prosecution Service, he chose not to prosecute the deceased and infamous prolific paedophile Sir Jimmy Savile. Indeed, Starmer is currently advised by former Blair adviser Lord Peter Mandelson. Lord Mandelson remained a close confidant of paedophile Jeffrey Epstein, even after Epstein's convictions. PM Starmer knows all of this, yet still didn't end his formal relationship with Lord Mandelson. 5. A landslide Tory loss, not a landslide Labour win. The Tory party held on to the smallest number of seats it's ever had since its inception. So great was the Tory loss that none of their former Prime Minister's seats were held. What really happened is that both parties in fact hemorrhaged votes at the last minute to Nigel Farage's Reform UK. Reform came second place in 98 seats across the country, yet none of those second place votes add up to anything at all in terms of parliamentary representation. That's a very large number of disenfranchised people. Considering Farage had just 5 weeks' notice to launch his campaign, to go from zero to third place in such a short space of time is something worth recognising. The largest gain in votes was for Farage's Reform Party at plus 14.3 points and 16.4% of the national vote share. The Liberal Democrat secured only 11.2% with minus 0.6 points. Yet the Liberal Democrat secured 71 seats in Parliament, while Reform only got 5 seats. Something is clearly broken with our electoral system. The new British Prime Minister is a trilateral commission serving Davos-loving globalist frontman. His position at this time is a final piece in the ongoing and attempted global palace coup. Be warned, so desperate are they to hold on to power that they would rather spark World War III than relinquish it. There's now very little doubt among people that have heard of the World Economic Forum that it's attempting to influence how we do government and politics in this country, even though Klaus Schwab isn't British. Why do we have an unelected bureaucrat and a foreign one at that telling us how to live our lives in Britain? It doesn't make sense. But then you go further. Why do they all appear to be beholden to this unelected foreign bureaucrat? Why do they all appear to be doing this man's bidding? And when you start thinking of things in that way, you think, why can't they just say no? And start digging a bit more. You then realise what Epstein's black book was about. They can't say no, because talk about compromat, compromising material and information, political blackmail, or you then get Epstein, if you don't agree, suicided. It becomes, that's when you start realising that this is a global palace coup. So there you have it. I think this is the great reveal in the UK to wake up the sleeping Brits. And as Concerned Citizen on X posted, so 1 week of a UK Labour government and all our worst fears have been confirmed. More war, more net zero lunacy, more economic hardship, more immigration, more censorship, more gender ideology madness. Remind me when the full-blown revolution begins, please. So definitely this is from people who are awake. But I think this is mirroring what's happened in the US. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And I hope you'll join me next week for another Cosmic Creating show. I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. And you can support him by visiting mysticalwares.com. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.